I invite you to turn, please, to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, and I'd like to read a few verses. I'm going to begin in verse 66 and read through the end of the chapter. John, chapter 6, verse 66 says, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it is that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Years ago, there was a certain advertisement whose product I shall not mention, but I do want to consider the philosophy of the ad. The commercial said, it doesn't get any better than this, meaning that this is the pinnacle of life and experience. This is superior to anything else. This is the best. It's worth your time and your money and your commitment. And that, my friends, is what they wanted you to think. Now, I do not wish to give credence to the product advertised, but if you would allow me, I think that we see Peter responding in similar fashion. Jesus said, "Will you go away?" And Peter as much as says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It doesn't get any better than this. I have spoken with many people who realize that there is a need for God and for His Word, but they just never have time to seek Him. You too have met those of like characteristic. Truly, it boils down to the fact that in their minds, what they live and what they feel and believe and experience is greater than what God has to offer. That's what they think. For them, there is a great deal of life which is better than the things of God, so they never seek it. But I say unto you, when it comes to God, it doesn't get any better than this. If the unsaved could just see and understand what it is that God offers them, they would repent and be saved. If the uncommitted Christians would realize what it is they are bypassing, they would be committed. If the committed Christian would grasp even greater the tremendous advantages of God and His Word, they would obtain higher levels of commitment. God is superior to anything else. He is the best. He is worth our time, our money, our commitment. He is the pinnacle of life and experience. Simply, it doesn't get any better than this. That's what I want to speak to you about from this passage. The title of my message is, It Doesn't Get Any Better Than This. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house, and thank You for Your grace that You've shown in our behalf, Lord, that at a point in time in our life, You came to us, You convicted us of our sin, You granted life to us, and You saved us. Lord, we thank You for that. You've changed us. You've continued to work with us since that day till this. And Lord, help us to realize that amidst all the distractions of the world, of all the stimuli that's there to draw us away, that Lord, what You've done and what You're doing and who You are and the truth that You've shown us, it doesn't get any better than this. We do ask for those that are in our midst today that are lost, help them to recognize that which they have chosen is not best, but that they need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus even today and be saved. We ask that You would move in their heart and convict them and save the lost today. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation that You've given to us, and may we be committed to You. May we love You more and more. And Lord, help us to recognize the many blessings You have shown to us. And Lord, there's nothing greater than You. Help that to be understood today. Move in every heart. We honor You today, and we love You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to speak to you today a message I've entitled, It Doesn't Get Any Better than this. And so I bring from the text here a few points that I would like to share to you. First of all, I direct your attention to verse 68, where that Peter raises up the statement, "To whom shall we go?" So I submit unto you, it doesn't get any better than this, for God is the true God of heaven and earth. Jesus said, "Will you go away?" Peter says, "Well, who are we going to go to? Where are we going to go? Is there anything really any better than you?" "Oh, there's nothing better than this." And Peter understood that. And he recognized, and in our reading, we notice in verse 69 that he knew that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of the living God. Where else would they turn? It just really doesn't get any better than this, my friend. And I think it's necessary for those who are lost to recognize that God is the true God of heaven and earth. For there are many gods and goddesses, little g, of course, that pervade the world, of which draw people away from the true God. But there is only one true God, and He is the God of the Word of God, and He is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only one true God. It's Jehovah God, Elohim. And there is none other. There's none that are any better than this true God. So I want to remind you that it doesn't get any better than this, because God is the true God of heaven and earth. And in doing so, I think of Elijah. Remember when Elijah, as he was a prophet in Israel many, many years ago, that there was a point in time where the people had gone away. Ahab was king of the northern tribe, and Elijah challenged the people. It's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. Don't turn over there, but there's a challenge that as Elijah met with the people and the prophets of Baal up on the mount, he said this, and here's the scriptural word for it that we have. "And Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." So we have that great challenge there on the Mount Carmel about who's God and who answers. And of course, the true God of heaven, Jehovah God, answered. The very God that Peter speaks of in the text, and the very God that we speak of today. I'll tell you, God in heaven is, well, there's nothing better. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Psalms. And I invite you to the 115th Psalm. Oh, there are so many different kinds of religions and voices in the world. There are gods and goddesses, little g again. And you know what? There are idols that abound. If you don't believe it, you'll see it as you go through this country if you just look for it. But you know what? You go to foreign countries, it's very, very evident. They'll have houses of worship where they're just at. The walls are lined with their idols and their icons. Psalm 115. Are those gods really gods? No, of course not. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." And I'll tell you, a great portion of the world trust in idols. O Israel, verse 9 says, "Trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." I submit unto you, my friend, it doesn't get any better than this, because the God whom we serve is the true God of heaven and earth. There is none other. None can shine a light to God in heaven. We believe in the true God. Is there anyone more wiser than God? Is there anyone more powerful than God? Is there any that is more gracious than God in heaven? No, my friend, God who rules and reigns over the universe is the sovereign God. There is none like Him. There is none over Him. There is none in comparison. All are below Him. It doesn't get any better than this. And Peter says, to whom shall we go? You're it. There is nobody else. The Scripture reminds us in the book of Isaiah chapter 44. Let me read these verses to you. In verse 6 and verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6, and then verse 18. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So I simply say to you today that who do not believe, you've not repented, you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not trusted Christ. You know what? If you rebel from God, to whom shall you go? If you turn from Him, what do you have? You have nothing. Don't you recognize that the philosophies of the world do not compare? The ideals and the religions that man has come up with, that doesn't even come close. You say, well, I just don't believe that there is a true God in heaven, that my God is the God that I follow. My friend, you've created a God out of your own mind, out of your own image. There's only one true God, and He is the sovereign God of the universe, and I present Him to you today as the God of heaven. And if you turn anywhere else, you will fall short. Because with the God of heaven and earth, it just doesn't get any better than this. I point you to Jesus Christ. Now the second point in our text, if you go back to the book of John in chapter 6, and you look in verse 68. Number two, it doesn't get any better than this. For God is the true and only means of salvation. In verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Notice, thou hast the words of eternal life. God, you're the true God, and you're the only one that have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we turn? Because you might say, oh, I believe the first, and I believe that God is God, and I believe in the same God that you believe, but I don't accept the same kind of salvation that you preach. Then, my friend, you're missing the truth of the Scripture. Because Jesus is the only way for salvation. You remember John chapter 14, verse 6? You're welcome to look over there if you wish, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, today, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have forgiveness of sin, if you're going to have a home in heaven, if you want to enter into the presence of God, then you must go by Jesus Christ, for there is no other way. Peter understood that. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You have the words of eternal life. It doesn't get any better than this. And some think that, well, you know what? You have to baptize in order to give these people eternal life. You have to wash away their sin. No, you think that's better, but it is not. Well, you have to join a church. You have to live a good life. You have to treat your neighbor right. You have to, well, you give and you do all these kind of things. You work and do and labor, and that's the way you get in. My friend, that is not true. You think it's better, but it isn't. You think you have a better pathway, but you don't have a pathway. That pathway leads to destruction. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, my friend. Turn back to chapter 10 of the book of John. Just a few pages over. John chapter 10. If you're here today and you're not saved, do you know why you're not saved? You say, well, I just don't believe God hadn't worked, blah, blah. But you know what it is? You think there's something better. You think you don't need to be saved. You think there's something greater than the truth and greater than Jesus Christ and greater than genuine salvation in Him. And you're welcome to think that, but you're dead wrong. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of those who would believe. And you know what? It doesn't get any better. He is it. That's it. He is the Savior. John chapter 10 and verse 9, where I've asked you to turn, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Go over to chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus spoke to Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Back to John chapter 6, even in the same context of which we are looking out of the book of John here. In this chapter, John chapter 6, verse 35, he had said to these people earlier, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. My friends, it doesn't get any better than this. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. No one else can. Nothing else can. And you can't produce it. My friend, if you're ever going to have forgiveness of sin, it's going to be through Jesus and Jesus alone. Do you know why that is? Because there's no other God but He. There is no other Savior but He. And Jesus left heaven 2,000 years ago, came to earth and took Himself a human body so that He might become a sacrifice for sinners, that He might be in our stead. You see, we have sinned against God, and all have sinned, by the way. You are a sinner, and you are condemned, and the wages of sin is death. So you must keep that in mind. And so in order for God to save people, Jesus Christ had to become a person. He became a man. And as He became a man, He lived a perfect life, never did anything wrong, never did any sin. He was God manifest in the flesh, and He was crucified on a cross as a sinner. And He was condemned, and He was crucified. But while the Romans were putting Him to death, and the Jews were thrilled to death of what they were doing, that He was being executed, there was something spiritual going on in the cross. And in Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us that God looked down and saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied. Jesus Christ, as He hung upon the cross, was a substitute for sinners, for fallen men. And you know what? Because of His righteousness, because of His sacrifice, because of His shed blood, I can have forgiveness of sins. Because I'm the one that sinned against God. But I can't fix that. And this church can't fix that. And you can't fix that. But Jesus Christ, who shed His blood, can wash away my sins. And He has washed away my sins. And He has given me eternal life. It doesn't get any better than that. You think you're going to earn your way to heaven? You will not. You think you can climb up some other way? You cannot. Jesus Christ is the true and only means for salvation. Paul writes to Timothy and says that there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, you can go your merry way. You can reject Jesus Christ. You can deny what's being said today, but you just lock yourself into hell if you do. Do you know why? Because He is the only way. He is the only answer. Why won't you believe? Because you think there's something better. And there isn't. It doesn't get any better than this. And Peter knew it. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me read to you again out of Isaiah. Chapter 42, verse 5 through verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You know why? Because they are nothing. And God said, I will bring the prisoner out, and I will give them life, and I will give them life. It's God, my friend. It's God. So we read again in Isaiah 45:22, where God proclaims, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." If I may, he says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God. There is none else." It doesn't get any better than this. I offer you Jesus Christ today. It doesn't get any better. Third point, as you go back to the text, if you departed from there, John chapter 6 and in verse 67, Jesus had posed a question to his disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" I submit unto you, it doesn't get any better than this, for God's Word is the true instruction for life and living. See, you have to keep in mind what's really going on here in John chapter 6. He's talking about disciples, people who had been following him, people who are walking after him. And so this question to the apostles is, "Will you go away from me?" Some have departed. Now, why is that? Because they chose not to follow him anymore. They would not yield to him. And so they walked away. You see, following God is a matter of practicality. It is that of experience. And up to this point, some of these people who made profession were following him, listening to him, obeying him, but not any longer. And so the question to the apostles, "Will you also go away?" was a challenge to their practicality in their experience. Are you going to turn away from me? And the truth of the matter is, when we turn from his word, we turn from him. And we find so much in the Word of God, don't we? Let's make a practical application. Let's bring this home to those of us who do know the true God of heaven and do have eternal life, genuine salvation through him. Isn't it possible for us to turn away in our life? Isn't it possible for us to set aside the dictates of God and the doctrine of the Lord and do what we want? It certainly is possible, and we do that. And we do so because we think that these things are better than what the truth is. But the Word of God tells us so many precious truths. I'm going to invite you to turn. We're going to look at five of them. Romans chapter 6, very quickly. Romans chapter 6. Do we not learn from the Word about how we ought to live as Christians? I remember talking to a guy one time, and he said he read the Bible through one time, and that was enough. I've talked to people who made professions of faith in Jesus Christ who didn't want to read the Word of God because they didn't want to be accountable. They didn't come to church very much because they didn't want to hear, because if they heard, they would be accountable. And my friend, don't be like that. If you know the true God of heaven, and if you have genuine salvation, it ought to be in your heart desire to follow him, because there really is nothing better. But we have a tendency to stray. "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love," the song tells us. What do we read then in Romans chapter 6? Just a few offerings to remind those of us who have been saved that we ought not turn away, that we ought not fall away from him. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Truth of the matter is, every time we sin, every time we choose to follow after those things, we are saying, "This is better than what you have. This is better than you." That doesn't mean we're lost. But that means at that point in time, we've chosen this is better. Oh, that we would not disobey. Romans chapter 12, what are we told in verse 1 and verse 2? Very familiar verses. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that's an exhortation to those of us who know Jesus Christ to be fully yielded to him all the time. Now, of course, we're sinners. We still fall. But, you know, the truth is, there are some people who make profession of faith. They've never taken this step. They've never surrendered to the Lord. They never follow after him. They're not concerned about being transformed. They're not concerned about being a living sacrifice. Do you know why? It's because they think that this life is better than that. And I want you to realize, and I want to remind you, that there's nothing better in this life than following Jesus Christ. I confess, I too sin. I wander. I go astray. I purposely choose to sin sometimes. We all do, don't we? But have you ever entered into the idea as a Christian, I need to be a living sacrifice. I don't want to be conformed to the world anymore. I want to be transformed. Have you ever stepped that way and said, God, I'm yours. I will be what you want me to be and I'll do what you want me to do. You say, no, I've never even entertained that. It's because you think there's just something better. And I submit unto you, there is not. There is nothing better than this. The best life you can ever live is to be in complete obedience to Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. 1 Peter chapter 1, I said there were three text references. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're familiar with your scripture, you might well guess this passage. Verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's just an exhortation to those of us who've been saved to not fashion ourselves after the world and after the things that we used to favor and the things we thought was so important. But we need to yield ourselves to God. To be holy because He is holy. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3, verse 4. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Again, exhortation. Be pure, be holy, be moral, be sanctified. You say, I choose not to do that, then you think there's something better than that, but it isn't. You'll find in the end that it is not. And of course, the familiar passage, passage number 5, we won't turn over there. I hope you have it memorized. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Simply, it doesn't get any better. You will not find a book that's more important than the Bible. Nothing wrong with commentaries. Nothing wrong with novels. Nothing wrong with textbooks. You know what? The greatest book you can ever possess is the Word of God. The greatest book you can ever read is the Word of God. This is where you'll learn about God. This is where you'll learn about life. This is where you'll learn about salvation from sin and how to serve Him as a Christian. Study. But you never pick up the book. You know why? Because you think there's something better. Something more worth the time. I would remind you of 2 Corinthians 6:17 where it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Turn, if you would, back to John chapter 6 if you departed from there. John chapter 6. I want to encourage you today. There is nothing better than this. It just doesn't get any better. For God's Word is the true instruction for life and living. It doesn't get any better than this. Why is it that we think we have a better way to live? I'll do things my way. I won't listen to scriptural admonition. Why do we do that? Because we think we found something better, but we haven't. Nothing better than the Word of God. I want to share with you before I pass on to my last point. And this is an article I saw posted on Facebook the other day. It's actually an old post, but somebody repeated it. And knowing what I was going to be speaking on, I thought this, I would like to share this with you. Just about all of you are familiar with Tim Tebow, a Christian football player. And this article was actually posted, it was in the USA Today, but it was posted on Facebook back in 2011. I saw it again the other day, so I made a copy of it a week or so ago and made this copy right here. And I couldn't shrink it, so I'm not that computer savvy, so it's big. But let me read this to you. A day after former Denver Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer said in a radio interview that he wished the man currently taking the snaps in Denver, Tim Tebow, would curb his references to Jesus Christ and his faith, Tebow responded. So Jake Plummer didn't like what Tebow was doing, right? Tebow responds, and here it is, I continue the article. Asked about Plummer's remarks in an interview on ESPN, Tebow said, and I quote, if you're married and you really love your wife, Is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love her, the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and every opportunity? My relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. So anytime I get an opportunity to tell Him that I love Him, or given an opportunity to shout Him on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity. And so I look at it as a relationship that I have with Him, that I want to give Him the honor and the glory anytime I have the opportunity. End of quote. And do you know why Tim Tebow would have that perspective? Because he knows it doesn't get any better than that. And all that we would share in that kind of relationship and that kind of attitude as committed Christians, that we would love Him with all of our heart. Last point is this, John chapter 6. Simply, it comes down to this, it's just a matter of priority, isn't it? And in verse 66 we read, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Can you imagine? These guys, some of them walked with Him for 3 years. And now they walked away, never to follow Him again. They did not understand what He taught. Back up to verse 60. Many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They just didn't understand what He was teaching. They didn't like what He had to say following that. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, does this offend you? What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up before where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And so to them, He wasn't better. And so they left Him. And verse 66 says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. You see, they changed priorities. You're no longer the best. What we think is the best. What we choose is the best. And they walked away from Jesus Christ. I ask you today, where's your priority? Where's your priority? Is God truly God? Is He your God? Do you believe Him as God? Do you have that genuine salvation that only God can give? Have you recognized the Word of God as supreme? Have you found anything better? You haven't, have you? Let us not turn away. Let us not disobey. Let us not turn a deaf ear. For there is nothing I say to you in closing, if for any reason we remove God or anything pertaining to Him from its rightful position, we have failed to truly believe it doesn't get any better than this. When we relegate the things of God to a lower position or to a place of lesser quality, we think that we found something better. But my friend, we have not. Let us not be deceived. When it comes to God and to His Word, I submit unto you, it doesn't get any better than this. And I think Peter knew that. And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Sinner friend, today, the only answer for your sin is Jesus. Would you repent? Would you believe? Would you trust Him? There is no other way. Christian, life and living, the best way is God's way. The best way is following the Word of God, applying the principles to your life. It's the very best. It just really doesn't get any better than this. And one of these days we'll see Jesus face to face. What a glorious time. And we'll be with Him for all eternity. Nothing can beat that. Nothing. Would you repent and be saved, sinner? Christian, would you be committed? Committed Christian, would you be even greater committed? Oh, that God would work in our hearts to realize there's nothing better than Him and His Word. like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I pray that God has spoken to your heart, encouraged you, touched you, that you'd recognize today the truth that's being expressed. There is nothing better. May God work that in our lives that we would be yielded to Him. Father, we commit this time to you. We love you. We honor you. And God, just draw us to you that we would serve you more, love you better. And oh God, we pray for the sinner that you would work in their heart, convict them, draw them to yourself, that today they would be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?